Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Your attention, please.
Your attention, please.
Your attention, please.
And now the moment we've been waiting for is here.
Good morning, Tasman and Nielsen. It's Sam McSorley here from Evolving Health. It's been a while. I don't think I've spoken since January. John has taken over for a wee while, and I've missed one too, just with workload of life and small children. I have a little 8-month-old who appears to be an insomniac, and it's slightly difficult at times. But anyway, I'm here today to talk about metabolic syndrome, which is fast becoming an epidemic in New Zealand and indeed a pandemic across the globe, not just in our advanced countries, but also in our third world countries. So it's a significant problem. It is a precursor to diabetes, and at the moment in the 2017-2018 Ministry of Health stats, 240,000 individuals have diabetes mellitus in New Zealand, and mainly that is type 2. And it is predicted in the next 15 years that 15% of the population will have diabetes mellitus type 2. Now, this is a preventable disease, and it's also a reversible disease. Metabolic syndrome, as I said, is the precursor. So it's a pro-inflammatory state, and it's a condition or a syndrome that includes many symptoms. There's four primarily, and that's an increase in blood pressure, hyperglycemia, so high blood sugar levels. They have the central obesity, so around the central rift, around your waist area, you've got that increased central fat storage, you have an increased waist circumference, and you have high cholesterol. And so these signs and symptoms are the hallmark of metabolic syndrome. And what we're seeing is that obesity, which is largely around energy in and energy out, so we are eating more food than we need. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in terms of the sucrose and the fructose that is prevalent in our modern daily diet, which is part of the problem, plus sedentary lifestyle, poor sleeping, excessive alcohol consumption, high stress are all contributing factors to metabolic syndrome. So obesity, why is it that we have this central weight gain? And largely it's because in our wonderful little cells, we have these little organelles that produce the energy powerhouse of the cell, which is called the mitochondria, which produces ATP. Now, when there isn't enough oxygen in the cells due to a lack of exercise, we produce a product called ADP. And ADP then is converted into another product called AMP. And what that does is that it causes non-alcohol fatty liver. So, you know, that's one of the phenomena of this metabolic syndrome, is that you have a non-alcohol fatty liver. And so what that also does is that then that produces stress on the body. There's stress around us anyway. You've got cortisol that's produced to cortisol, dependent on a number of biochemical pathways. And then that causes cortisol receptor sites are quite sensitive in the liver and around the waist area. And that's why we start to deposit fat in those areas rather than in the shoulder or in the arms, because of the sensitivity of particular hormones in the body. Then we have insulin resistance. Now, insulin is produced in the pancreas. You are born with the number of beta cells which produce your insulin. And once you've spent those beta cells, you've spent them. So it's a bit like a bank balance. And in New Zealand, we have the highest rate of diabetes in the world per capita. And that's largely due to our Polynesian population as well, which just puts that percentage up. So insulin resistance. So when you have more visceral fat around organs and around cells, your body has to produce more insulin because those cells are less fluid and become resistant to the action of insulin. And then that excess insulin and excess glucose that can't get in the cell then drives your high cholesterol. So one of the hallmarks of high cholesterol with metabolic syndrome is that you have very low HDLs, which is your happy cholesterol. cholesterol, and very high triglycerides. And your LDLs can be elevated, but it's the type of LDLs that we're interested in, and those are called very low-density lipoproteins. So with all of that, that then leads on to hypertension, because then the very low LDLs cause a salt to very sensitive microcirculation, and then you get this hypertensive response. So if you have three of those four symptoms, which is obesity, insulin resistance, hypertension, or high cholesterol, then you have the makings of metabolic syndrome, the pre-diabetic state. So obesity is, if you have more than 102 centimetres waist circumference for a male and excess of 88 centimetres circumference for a female. You've got elevated fasting blood glucose of 5.6, and your cholesterol is higher than 130 over 85. So what drives this primary problem? Well, some of the causes include sleep apnea. There's some significant research in this area now looking at why sleep apnea contributes to metabolic syndrome. And there's various theories for this. Again, if you're experiencing a lack of oxygen while you sleep, then everything in the cell works suboptimally. And we talked about the liver and its metabolizing of fructose being susceptible to that. We have increased fat. As I said, it's increased calories in and less energy out. So Bill Gates fondly said in the 90s that we would work less with the advance of technology. And the truth is that we're actually probably working up to 40% more than we ever did. Plus, that's a sedentary lifestyle that we're leading. Many of us don't get outside through the day now either. And so that raises questions of what that does to your whole hormone/endocrine system. Then we've got leptin resistance, and leptin is a hormone that makes you feel full. And what we're finding that people who have got that central weight gain, they don't respond as well to this hormone called leptin, which is produced by your fat tissue and by the brain. So your body's producing more and more leptin. That then causes a cascade of events, which is a bit complex for this show, but which then just causes domino effect of that weight gain and high cholesterol. Then microcirculation. So we know that with diabetes in particular, that there are issues with microcirculation, and we see that with retinopathy, so that's eye disease, and kidney disease. And there is a thought that perhaps it's a microcirculatory problem first rather than diabetes causing the microcirculatory problem. So there's a lot of research around that as well. And it's perhaps we become insulin resistant because insulin is a rather large molecule. And if you have microcirculatory problems, insulin can't get to the cell, hence why it takes glucose up into the cell and you become resistant. We have an upregulated nutrient flux. So again, that's more nutrients than we need, especially fructose. Now, fructose, we have been believing for a long time that gout can also be a symptom of metabolic syndrome. And we've believed for a long time that it's to do with the purines, like the sardines and the meats and things that we eat. But in actual fact, it's fructose. And I talked about that just some time ago, where we look at the mitochondria, the powerhouse for the cell. And if you have an excess of fructose and fruit juice, too much sucrose gets cleaved into fructose. Fructose is a massive thing in our food, our modern food, packaged foods now, to make it taste good. High fructose fruits, the liver has to process that. And the liver processes it through ATP and then into AMP. And AMP causes fatty liver in the presence of elevated fructose. So per fructose molecule is as harmful as an ethanol alcohol molecule to your liver. And there's plenty of research on that. So fructose is a toxin to the body. So looking at low fructose fruits such as berries and some melon as well. So we've got environmental toxins, especially our persistent organic pollutants that are surrounding us, that can make somebody more susceptible to metabolic syndrome. And then, of course, I am a naturopath, so I have to talk about the gut and our friendly friends in our gut that live there. Friends or foe, depending on the ratio of those, can also increase your risk to metabolic syndrome. So how can we manage this syndrome before it moves into an inflammatory state like diabetes type 1 or type 2? Well, we need to reduce our waist measurement. We need to reduce our stress reduction, adequate and appropriate exercise. We know that by doing as little as 50 minutes exercise a week, high intensity, and that means 3 minutes of hardcore workout to get your heart rate up with 10 minutes of resting, 3 minutes of hardcore cardio, 10 minutes of resting. Doing that for 51 minutes a week is a managing to achieve a reduction of that central weight gain in metabolic syndrome. So there's no excuses. You know, get a skipping rope, get out there in your garden or on your deck or on your path doing 3 minutes of intense cardio. But we do also know that resistant work also helps. So maybe going up a hill with a backpack, a little bit more weight on you, doing some weight and resistant work, which is adequate and appropriate for your physical abilities. So appropriate dietary changes are also important. And those dietary changes, of course, I'm going to talk about the Mediterranean diet, which was inspired eating habits of the Greeks in the southern Italy and Spain. And those principles of the Mediterranean diet include high consumption of olive oil, legumes, unrefined cereals, low glycemic fruits, so low fructose fruits, vegetables, moderate consumption of fish, and low meat consumption. Also, the Mediterranean diet, if you're able to have dairy products, include moderate consumption of cheese and yogurt, and not forgetting our lovely legumes and nuts. The health effects of a Mediterranean diet are significant, and there's significant studies going on in Europe at the moment using this diet in the prevention of Alzheimer's and the treatment of Alzheimer's disease. It's called the MIND diet, M-I-N-D-D, and it's an inhibitory neuroinflammatory diet. So we know that Alzheimer's and dementia and conditions such as cancer and cardiovascular disease are all inflammatory conditions. So being a naturopath, I can't let it slip that carefully selected herbs and supplements are also really important. One of the key drugs that's used for metabolic syndrome or a pre-diabetic state or diabetes type 2 is metformin. Now, metformin originally is derived from a herb called goat's rue, but it's not from goat's rue anymore, of course. But herbal medicine there's some amazing research going on across the world looking at specific herbs, and herbs containing berberines, for example, which is a chemical component of the plant. So herbs such as philodendron, gynostemma, and then we have another herb called gymnema. And I often find it quite interesting to do a taste test with my clients who have got a sweet tooth, and just a drop of gymnema on the finger can null the sweet taste buds. And then you go to eat some sugar or chocolate, and you can't taste anything sweet because gymnema has anaesthetized the sweet taste buds. So it's really good if you have a sweet tooth, because you eat it and you think, what's the point? Because I can't taste anything. I can't taste the sugar. And of course, sugar is a highly addictive substance. It's as addictive as alcohol. You know, we move our addictions around as well. So I just wanted to touch again on the Mediterranean diet, herbs, there's supplements. Magnesium is also a very good form, and I'm not saying come off your medications, absolutely not. You need to seek medical advice to do that. But magnesium does stabilise blood sugar levels. It makes the cell more receptive to insulin. So a diet high in magnesium, so plenty of green leafy vegetables. And of course, fibre. One of the key deficiencies in the Western diet is fibre, and we can help reduce and stabilise blood sugar levels just by introducing more fibre into the diet. We've got it all back to front. We're having way more protein on our plate than we are vegetables, and it should be the other way around. So the rest of your plate should be bulked with seasonal vegetables and those low glycemic fruits that we talked about. So if you want some more information or want to have a chat about what I've discussed today, it's a lot of information in 15 minutes, please do get in touch with us, www.evolvinghealth.co.nz, and we'd be happy to field any questions you have there. You've been listening to Evolving Health on Fresh FM, played on Tuesday mornings at 11 a.m. and a replay on Sunday afternoons at 1:40. Thanks for listening.
I have something to tell you. Hey!